Checking on the Arts is made possible by Memphis College of Art. We've talked about this in the past, but the time is now upon us. The Brazilian instrumental group Choro das Três is coming back to Memphis. They're going to be at the Buckman Performing and Fine Arts Center tomorrow evening at 8 p.m., this time under the auspices of the newly formed nonprofit West Tennessee Choro. They are a family group consisting of Father Eduardo and daughters Corina, Leah, and Elisa. And before we talk with those folks, they are here in the studio with us today, and they're going to bring you an example of what you can hear tomorrow evening at the Buckman, Choro das Três. As you can hear, that's a very distinct style of music, and I think if you stay listening, we'll hear some more examples of it. We're going to talk with the members of Choro das Três, and they are, as I mentioned, three sisters, Corina, Leah, and Elisa. Corina, why don't you start and tell us, what is your take on it? How would you describe this music?
Well, I've been doing research since I was 12. And Choro, we can resume it, it's basically a blend of classical music and the drum beats that the slaves brought from Africa. So many Choro composers were conductors. They were like Joaquim Calado, who was the composer that first composed a Choro. He was a flute player graduated by the Royal Conservatory of Rio de Janeiro, and he became a teacher there. And there were many composers that studied abroad. They went to study in Paris, music in Paris. Mm-hmm. Pixinguinha, who is the greatest composer we had in Brazil, was a conductor, graduated by this conservatory. So it's a kind of music that has a lot of classical music with these drum beats feelings. Mm-hmm. So we say that it's a chamber music of Brazil with drums.
That certainly seems appropriate. How much of it is written out? How much of it is improvised?
Choro follows the rondo form. Mm-hmm. We have three sections, and these three sections are written down. What is improvised mostly is the counterpoints, mm-hmm. and what Leah plays, the accompaniment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's like in the Baroque continuo.
Exactly.
She has a line, but she improvises in that thing. And then we improvise counterpoints, and we do a lot of embellishing the melody and variations. It's not like jazz that you take a melody and you go completely out of that melody.
Right.
That's our more classical heritage on the choro.
Leah is guitarist, and I'm sure as you listen to that, you notice that the guitar line is just, it's constant. It runs underneath everything all the time. Yeah. And as you mentioned, Karina, that is very much in the Baroque, especially tradition of the figured bass. And how much of that is written out? How do you work from a chart? Do you work from how does it work?
Well, normally, what works with guitar choro is you have the harmony, and from that you do your own bass lines. Mm-hmm. So each guitar player plays differently.
Yeah.
So I can play the same tune in a different way that another guitar would play it.
Sometimes so. Also the harmony, some guitar player would say, well, this, we usually play this chord here, but look how this one would sound beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. But it's a thing that is not, he would have to tell the other musicians the change, because we would have a sixth string guitar.
And I play the seventh string, so I have a lower string that came from cello, so it's a C. And in a traditional group of choro, we have two guitars, a sixth string and a seventh, and they work together. So the sixth string would do the thirds of mm-hmm. what I am doing.
Oh, okay.
So we would need to be very rehearsed and know each other very well to know what I am playing and what we would want to do.
Although there are some basses, they are part of the tune that the composer
wrote.
Composed. Yeah, mm-hmm. the composer wrote, and then they usually play it.
Yeah, that's Elisa, who is performing on mandolin on the particular song that we just heard. It was very interesting for me to watch you and your sister interact, because you're doing the melody lines, and clearly, I mean, you're watching each other to make sure that you're together on these lines.
Yes, we were in this for a week in this university in Oregon, and this conductor that he's American and he plays jazz, but he loves Brazilian music, and he was telling his students, did you notice what the Brazilian, there's something that I noticed that the Brazilian musicians do all the time in everywhere in the country. I saw them doing this, and they said, what? When they play, they look at each other all the time.
They don't look to the audience.
Right.
We are always looking to each other. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's something that you would need to do with this music, because it is so tightly bound together, all the different lines are.
Yes.
We're talking with Choro das Três. They're going to be performing tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. at the Buckman Performing and Fine Arts Center. If you'd like more information, go to West Tennessee Choro. That's westtnchoro.com and .org, excuse me. And you get more information or call the Buckman at 537-1483. Let's hear something a little bit different from Choro das Três. Thank you. We are talking with the folks who played that piece, Choro Das Tres. They're going to be performing tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. at the Buckman Performing and Fine Arts Center. If you'd like more information, 537-1483. Corina, this is a family group. It is
yes.
Your three sisters and your father
yes.
who plays the percussion. How did this come about? How did you decide to start making this kind of music?
Well, when I was a child, I was playing the recorder, and then my father used to play when he was in high school, but other styles of music. And then when I was 8, I found a CD by Altamiro Carrillo, who was a wonderful flute player. And that was the only CD of this kind of music he had. He had many CDs of classical music, of bossa nova, of jazz, all styles. But just one of Choro, and I heard that and I felt in love with it. And then I wanted to play, but it was so difficult. It took me several years. And my father bought a pandeiro and then the Brazilian tambourine, and we started to play just for fun at home. And my sisters saw that they are younger than me, and so they wanted to be part of that party too. And then we started to go to São Paulo City, because we live in a small town in São Paulo State. And we met the old players, os chorões, and they became our mentors. And we learned a lot with them. It was wonderful, yeah.
What's the position of Choro in Brazilian music and in Brazilian society today? Is it coming back? Is it being revived?
Yeah, it's coming back, but it's shuro was a kind of music that was created by musicians for musicians. They never thought this is gonna be a huge hit, and so it's never been a huge success, like millions of people going to a concert of shuro, but it's. Always even, been there.
Even
you know?
So, the Brazilian's favorite song is a choro
called
Carinhoso, and it has lyrics. And everywhere we go and we play, Brazilians sing along. So yeah. It's very nice.
That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of music that is alive, that we've been recording our three latest albums with just new compositions by us and our friends. But it's a kind of music, it's like classical music that you don't see on TV all the time. But if you want to listen, you have to know where to go.
Well, it's very exciting to listen to. Let's hear one more little selection before we go. Thank you. As you can hear, shoru has many different forms and many different sounds, and it's going to be exciting to hear these wonderful musicians tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. at the Buckman Performing and Fine Arts Center. My guest today, shoru das Tres, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us.
It's our pleasure.